Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I love the football rivalry question because very often it produces not just different answers, but conflicting answers. Like right now, I've got people on our Facebook page saying Ravens Steelers is the best rivalry in football. But I've got Thomas on Twitter saying in the NFL, it's Cleveland and Pittsburgh, which of course has been enhanced by a recent brawl. Enhanced may be the wrong word. It's been marred by a recent brawl and subsequent suspensions. What is the best rivalry in football, college or pro? I don't care where it comes from. I suppose if you're a CFL fan, you can give me one of those as well. But in light of the 120th Army-Navy game, sometimes it takes years to establish incredible traditions as well as that familiarity and a rivalry that has not just energy, but it has passion to it. It takes years. Well, you don't have to look any further than Army-Navy for a rivalry that means so much more than football to the people who watch it, who take it in, who play in it. But there are other rivalries that suck us in, that we really look forward to. Gosh, I know that it's not the same right now between the Cowboys and Eagles, but that is certainly a rivalry that I generally appreciate. Now this season, but they do play again in week 16. It's just that, you know, NFC East is the soap opera of the NFL. I think back when I was growing up and I fell in love with the Denver Broncos, this is when I was 13, Broncos Raiders was a huge rivalry. It's not that way right now, but those two teams, those two franchises still don't like each other. And it is considered a rivalry in the AFC West, but it didn't have the same spice. It doesn't have the same spice or sex appeal as it did the hatred back when I was first getting into NFL. But I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. There's a space where you can weigh in. And also, producer Chris put up a spot on our Facebook page as well. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. So get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. We'll do a little more on week 15 as we head through the back half of our show. And also, Kawhi Leonard returning to the Toronto roots. That's just mean. Returning to the site of his NBA Finals MVP and the one really incredible year he had with the Raptors, but also changed literally changed the direction of that franchise. And also gave us that gem in his preseason introduction a year plus ago. So he was back. He was in Toronto. He received a very warm welcome, as you can imagine. Good for you, Raptors fans. We're glad there was no booing because that would have been redonkulous. So we'll get to that this hour, our second hour here on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed the breaking news, Anthony Rendon, 7 years, $245 million, the exact same deal that Steven Strasburg got to stay with the Nationals. Rendon gets to go with the Angels. And even as I was starting to scribble my CBS Sports Minute at the top of the hour during the break, I was kind of looking at some of the different headlines. And I actually opened up the Yahoo story on the Patriots. I don't even know what to call it. The Patriots videotape probe. I refuse to call it Spygate 2.0. That is dumb. But it's pretty popular, I'm sure. So here's some more of the deets. This makes me laugh a little bit. I can't help it. If you are the Bengals media relations person who spotted the videotape going on, could you imagine the spike in adrenaline? We caught them! Yeah, kind of like that. I caught you red-handed, you cheaters! Okay, so here's the deal. So this is kind of how the whole thing came to light. Patriots had this video crew. Again, they're independent contractors. They're working with the team to put together a web series on scouting. They have an advanced scout at a Bengals game. And they're filming the scout who's doing his job. Okay, so the team of videographers is supposed to be videoing the scout, not the Bengals sidelines. But the cameras get pointed down at the sidelines. And a Bengals employee sees it in the press box. I caught you red-handed. I hope he yelled that, he or she. The Bengals employee immediately rushed to a media relations staffer, and then they called security. I'm sorry. It's so melodramatic. And, of course, now the NFL is investigating. Belichick, Bill, has said he had no idea, which that makes sense to me. How would he have any idea? Unless you honestly think that he sent this videographer, this crew, with the scout, and said, when you can, covertly film the Bengals sidelines. Maybe you believe that.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
He says he had no knowledge. He was not involved in it. I don't really have any idea what's going on. And here, we have never viewed any video footage at all of anything that those production people have done. Ooh, talk about popping their balloon. They think they're all cool, right? They're contracted to do a video for the New England Patriots on their webs. Maybe it's their web. Maybe it's another website. But they're contracted by the Pats. They're following around this scout. And then Belichick says, I've never seen any of the footage that those production people have done. I don't have anything to do with what they do.
I have no knowledge of anything.
Exactly. Or my favorite, every now and then we get to drop it in, SNL Brady, I don't know things. Oh my gosh, that was the best. I know we were supposed to be all serious when it came to Deflategate, but the best thing to come out of Deflategate was the Saturday Night Live skit about John Brady. Oh my gosh, we used that audio over and over and over again. I couldn't help it. It was so funny. And every time
I don't know things.
Every time we did, I laughed. I still laugh every single time. I'm not a science computer.
I'm not a science computer. See what
I mean? I don't even really like SNL. It's not my kind of humor. I do think the actors and the improv is brilliant, but it's not me. Okay, so interestingly enough, according to Yahoo, there are multiple executives inside the NFL from other teams who do want to see what's on the tape. They want to know what's on that videotape to know if it's anything that could be useful, which, of course, would then maybe lead them to believe that, in fact, the Patriots were doing it on purpose. And then also, there's a discussion about whether or not the video should be released to the public, which I think is interesting. Would you guys like to see it? I don't know, is that a violation of the Bengals' privacy? Now that if it's out there, what are you going to do? Redact parts of the video? Cover people's faces up with those blurry bubbles?
Oh, yes.
Apparently, they were filming the backsides of the Bengals, so it would be a lot of football players' tookuses, as they say.
Right, but you can sometimes see, like, signs or hand signals if you zoom in. I get it. You're above them, right? You're in the press box, so that's what you're filming. This was the game between the Browns and the Bengals, and so you're allowed to advance scout, but obviously not allowed to take video while you're there in the press box. I mean, I don't even know how these contractors don't know that. That's, to me, seems like a no-brainer. You can't videotape someone else in their own stadium. Just, yeah, it's not.
It's time to have some fun.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Troy Vincent, who's the NFL Executive VP of Football Operations. It's such a long title. Sometimes when I have to type it in my columns, I'm like, oh my gosh, can we just shorten this? He's the football ops guy. Anyway, he's the one handling the investigation right now.
I'm gathering facts. I'm not in the right position to make a comment on what's believable, what's not. As we get the detail, our security reports back, we'll evaluate it, and then we'll make a decision based off the facts that we've gathered.
Now, you can just take it to the bank that other teams are more suspicious because it's the Patriots. Because of what happened in the past in 2007, because the tape was destroyed. Oh, my gosh, it's like a conspiracy. I love it. People get all fired up about Spygate. Patriots were caught taping signals from the Jets sideline. Here's what one league source said to Yahoo. By the way, this is sarcasm. Do you know when I tweet sarcasm, people don't get it? So I'm just going to tell you flat out. There's no sarcasm font. This is sarcasm. Quote, I believe them only because they have no history. Wow, snarky. And then.
You cannot be serious.
And then another league source says to Yahoo, it's been a part of their culture. All right. But here's one more thing. This Yahoo story is really interesting. I would highly recommend it. Let me see. I didn't see who it was written by, but I'll Charles Robinson, of course. He's great. So Charles Robinson, NFL columnist for Yahoo Sports, has a lot of really good, juicy details. He spoke to one high-level NFC exec who actually tells the story about how this happened to him because they had their own in-house media taping a video that would focus on scouts, and they actually had to ask permission to tape from inside the press box. So he says, I believe the Patriots because I went through this exact same thing, but we had to ask for permission, and I could understand how it could accidentally happen. So that's one of those, wait, don't tell me, hashtag FWIW. I know what that one means. Otherwise, I generally have to ask Chris what these acronyms mean because I don't always know, and he always does. And sometimes he won't tell me because he knows that I don't really want to know. He's running interference. Chris is like my millennial V-chip. Okay, 855-212-4227. By the way, do millennials know what a V-chip is? Do you know what a V-chip is?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I wasn't sure because I feel like that's an old piece of technology that used to put on TVs that parents could use to control what their kids watch.
Do you know what TLDR means?
Wait, is this something to make me sound stupid?
No, 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 not at all, not at all. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to you. Come on now.
Timeline. No, I do not know what TLDR means.
It'd be too long, didn't read. That's a lot of these articles, where they come from.
Wait, does that include ours?
No. Everyone reads our entire write-ups on CBSSportsRadio.com, where you should go and check out all of our archived interviews and Amy's articles that she posts every week.
Yeah, well.
Get out of here! Get out of here!
Wait, I can't be serious. So the TLDR gets it gets posted as a response to people's columns?
Yeah, so what people do is people will post in the comments section. They'll say, TLDR, read the headline. This is what I think.
Isn't that what the majority of people do?
Yep.
And the headlines very often, just so you know how this works, are not written by the same people who actually wrote the material.
I read about it in a book.
I love books. I do. I love books. And I also enjoy reading columns that take you behind the scenes and give you extra information that you won't always get on TV or radio. And so this Yahoo Sports column is fascinating. Charles Robinson does a great job. Very often, if you don't read the entire column, you will get hung up and get misled because you don't know actually what it's about. And that happens frequently, as much as Chris is giving you all props for reading and listening to everything that we put out there. How often people see posts on our Facebook page that have links then to the interviews that we do, or a particular segment on the show, and they comment on the headline, which we do not write. It comes from our digital department. And without listening, they criticize it. And I can tell when they don't listen, because very often their comments are dumb. I mean, there is such a thing as a dumb comment or a stupid question. Don't let anyone tell you there's no such thing as a stupid question.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
Hashtag TLDR. Huh. No one's ever responded with that to my column, but maybe that's because I keep them roughly about 1,000 words. But what are the chances people actually read all the way through it? Probably not much. I'll just warn you, though. My punchlines, my conclusions, very often at the end of my articles, whew, that's where the good stuff is. Like this week, I used a phrase that I've never typed before in my life. And I also invoked the 90s. Mm-hmm. My latest column, by the way, is on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's nerdy. It's totally nerdy. So if you like stats and you're into analytics, and that's the kind of stuff that floats your boat, but you're also looking for reasons why, I don't just give you numbers. I give you reasons why. It's the attack of the throwback. All right, so find us on Twitter. What is the best football rivalry going? And then also on our Facebook page. And definitely take your phone calls, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
855-212-4227, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. The quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Coming up, I got to ask the guys if they've seen Ryan Reynolds come to the defense of the Peloton actress. This was kind of interesting, actually. And I tweeted about the Peloton ad last week. Oh my gosh, the responses. Oh, I never expected it to be that big of a response, but wowzers. Okay, let's talk to John, who's listening in Anchorage, Alaska. John, welcome to After Hours.
Thank you, Amy. I love your show.
Thank you.
My mom went to UCLA and my dad went to USC, so ooh, we had a one-day divorce every November. But I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
USC was originally a Methodist school, and okay, Notre Dame played it every year, so it was the Catholics against the Methodists. But then USC went secular and became kind of the Hollywood. So it was the religious against the seculars.
Oh.
I think the Notre Dame-USC tradition still means something for mm-hmm. both schools.
It does. It does.
UCLA and SC is just crosstown, and you always have crosstown rivalries every place. But you don't have anything like the Catholics against the Methodists fighting over the true God.
Well, there's only one true God. It's just a matter of how you serve him and how you worship him. But I get what you're saying, John. That's interesting.
Go.
That's kind of funny. Thank you for listening in Anchorage. Good to talk to you.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Bob, who's in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Yes, Amy. Good morning to you. First of all, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and
you too.
Your whole staff.
Thank you so much. How are you feeling, Bob?
Not too well. Well into my 80s now, and
yes.
I want to talk about Army and Navy.
Okay.
It was my privilege in 1944, I was 8 years old, to see the Army-Navy game when it was played in Baltimore.
Wow.
At Municipal Field, later became Memorial Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And Felix Doc Blanchard, and Glenn Davis, both of them won the Heisman Trophy. Glenn Davis, after his military commitment, went on to play for the Los Angeles Rams.
Hmm.
Felix Blanchard, Doc Blanchard, the fullback, he stayed in the military in the Army and became a colonel after 20 years of service. They were known as Mr. Inside, that was Glenn Davis, and Glenn Davis was Mr. Outside, I'm sorry. Doc Blanchard ran up the middle. He was known as Mr. Inside. Mr. Mm-hmm. Inside, Mr. Outside. Tremendous team under Red Blake. This upcoming Army-Navy game is a special game, really special for the Navy. Three men, I believe, were killed down in Florida. There's a young man that just graduated from the Naval Academy this past May.
Mm.
he was one of the three. He was only 23 years old. And I believe it's the captain of the football team is going to wear a special patch to honor him, his name and so forth, and they're going to bring up the information about him. Mm-hmm. It was recently. It wasn't too long ago. Okay. So this one's going to be a special one, no question about it. And there is no such thing as competition between these civilian universities and colleges compared to the Army-Navy game. These men served a five-year commitment when I was growing up. There was no way out of it either. You served 5 years. I can remember the Lonesome Men. I can't remember. Bill Carpenter, he was a Vietnam veteran. He never came back to the huddle during the game. That's why he was called the Lonesome Men. And obviously the signals were telegraphed to him from the bench and so forth. But it's a tremendous, tremendous game. And you see the commitment when they come onto the field and when they leave the field. Mm. The fidelity between the two teams, even though the ones in the Army and the Long Green Line and the Swabbies. But it's something you never forget. And I saw that one game. My father got tickets to it. My father couldn't afford it. It was during the war. And he got tickets because a friend bought it for him. But I never forget it. And
that sounds awesome.
I hope that the people who have never watched it before will do so this time. This is not for money or fame or anything.
Right.
Because most of these guys will never play pro football and so forth. They do it for the love of the game and for the love of their universities. No question about it.
Really quickly, Bob, before I let you go, are you referring to the Pensacola shooting when you talk about the three men who died? Okay. The three naval sailors who died, right? That was at the Navy Air Base there. Okay. Naval Air Station Pensacola is the name of it. Okay, I just wanted to be sure I got that right. Well, that sounds like an amazing memory, especially when you're eight. I can only imagine how overwhelming that must have been for an eight-year-old.
Yeah, well, I'll never forget it. Like Forrest Gump said, life is a box of chocolates. Take your pick.
Bob, it's good to hear from you. I hope that you feel better soon. Thanks so much for calling in. Merry Christmas to you.
Take care of yourself, yeah?
Okay, bye, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bob calls us every now and then. It's good to catch up with him. I recognize his voice now, but he always has incredible stories. So the man has an awesome memory and brings some of the coolest stories to the table and has a perspective that, of course, I do not. So he's also very passionate about baseball. And I remember one time Bob called us to share his impassioned view about headhunting in baseball. It was, he was very fired up to talk about baseball and about players throwing at other players' heads. Just to wrap up the end of what he was talking about so that we can give proper due, the U.S. Navy identified the three sailors who died in that shooting at Naval Air Station Pensacola, and Joshua Watson is the one who had just graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy, and he had a military career set up for him as a pilot. He was 23 years old, and he actually is credited with leading first responders around the naval base in Pensacola as they were searching for an active shooter. Let's see. There was also a 19-year-old from St. Petersburg, Florida, who was an airman, and then a 21-year-old from Richmond Hill, Virginia. And the Navy is crediting all three of them for doing what they could to prevent any other loss of life. But as you can imagine, in a small community like Pensacola, and with the youth and with these young men having so much of their lives still ahead of them, presumably, it's really difficult for the Navy and certainly difficult for Naval Air Station Pensacola. So it's good that they will be honoring him. That's awesome. Again, Army-Navy has so much more meaning and depth to it than your average Saturday football game. It is about football for sure. And for a couple of hours, that's what they think about. But all of these cadets and sailors end up serving our country, and some of them are putting their lives on the line and just the sacrifice that they're making. So we appreciate that, of course. And it's really cool to see them all come together And on this moment for these few hours, just get so excited about football and everything that it means. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. What is the best rivalry in football after Army-Navy? A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. I found one on Facebook that I absolutely love. Daniel says the NFL's best robbery is Falcons-Saints. Hashtag autocorrect or hashtag TLDR.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
He'll hand it off to Teague, straight ahead, just trying to stay on his feet. He is stood up, and the officials have not blown a whistle yet. They'll let time run out, and this game is over. For an eighth consecutive year, Ohio State wins the game. They beat Michigan 56-27, and the Buckeyes finish off an undefeated regular season.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ohio State, Michigan has definitely been mentioned by you, the listeners, as one of football's best rivalries. In fact, even as I'm talking, Shannon says Ohio State, Michigan on Twitter, though he didn't hear me and then write because we're on a 30-second delay. So, Shannon, you and I are along the same wavelength. Ryan Radke with the call from Ohio State, Michigan on the Westwood One radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What are the best rivalries in football? I know football is only one sport, but we're limiting it to football because of Army-Navy and because it's football season! 855-212-4227 on Twitter or on Facebook. It's good to hear from so many of you from around the country. Aaron says, as a Steelers fan, it's always Ravens-Steelers for me. If you're going non-division, I guess out of his AFC North, it's Green Bay and Chicago and Dallas and Philadelphia. What are the best rivalries in football? And I'm willing to consider your outside-the-box suggestions. Definitely Iron Bowl, though. Alabama-Auburn, oh, there's so much intensity there, so much grit and grind, and, of course, the same history and tradition. Let's see. There are teams out there that don't actually have rivals, which I think is kind of interesting. Gordon tries to sell me on the Bills and Dolphins. No, survey says, eh. Well, I mean, I'm not really sure who the Bills' rivalry would be. The problem is in the AFC East, while you do have some of the nasty intensity and you do have the hatred, sports hatred, between, say, the Jets and the Patriots.
The Miami Dolphins.
Right. I mean, I guess if the Bills had been more competitive over the last 15-something years or even in the past, I mean, Bills-Patriots, the problem is when the Bills were good, the Patriots were not. And now that the Patriots are, the Bills aren't. And the AFC East hasn't been real competitive for a long time, though this year, of course, before the Bills kind of fell flat this past weekend, I thought they might challenge the Patriots for the top of the AFC East. And I know the Patriots have lost two in a row, so we'll see. Bills need to beat the Patriots sometime here. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's moving forward. But right now in the AFC East, there aren't any real good rivalries. So again, on Facebook or Twitter, let's see. Carl says the new Browns versus the Ravens. And of course, you know the Browns prior to 1997, was it? They moved to Baltimore. So they became the Ravens. And of course, the Ravens replaced the team that had moved under cover of night to Indianapolis to become the Colts. Derek agrees with USC Notre Dame, and he also says Bears Packers. Oh, Robert on Facebook says Gators and Seminoles, so Florida and Florida State. That's a good one. Jacob wants to sell us on Cardinals and Rams because the Cardinals used to play in St. Louis. I don't think I'm feeling the intensity emanating from that rivalry. I love this one, though. Rob says Longhorns and Sooners. That's right. Wait, we're not allowed to call it the Red River Shootout anymore. Now it's the Red River something. I don't know.
Showdown.
Oh, please, whatever. I've actually been to a Texas-Oklahoma game at the Texas State Fairgrounds. It is phenomenal. Justin on Facebook, the Apple Cup, which, if I'm not mistaken, is Washington versus Washington State. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Austin, who's in California. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, man, so many good thoughts. I just want to start with Bob. That was a great call, man. Got me a little teary-eyed. I hope you're still listening, Bob. That was great, brother. Hope you call in again and give us some more history.
Yes.
So I went down the rabbit hole when you popped up this question, and I was going to say Chicago versus the Packers because my old man's a big Packers fan. But then I started reading all of these articles saying that Minnesota's biggest rivalry is them and the Packers. Chicago's biggest rivalry is them and the Packers.
Yeah.
And Detroit's biggest rivalry is them and the Packers. And I started thinking, so if those are the biggest rivalries, then is it really a rivalry? Because the Packers have been slapping them for years, decades, okay? So I'd like to post a question to you. Is a rivalry history, which of course Army-Navy has, mm-hmm. and of course Chicago, the Packers have, in terms of history, or is it the competition of equal success? So I'd love to hear your answer off the air,
okay.
Amy. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Austin. Good to talk to you in California. And yes, we need more of Bob. See, here's my theory on this. Rivalries can take a variety of different forms. If your rivalry is geography-based, and if your rivalry is about proximity, or in the case of the NFC North, you've got teams that meet twice a year. So there's a lot of material, and there's a lot of history there. And of course, they go back 100 years. That's why the NFL started the season with them. That rivalry is different than, say, one that's a little newer, but it's got a lot of electricity and maybe a lot riding on it in recent years, or it's been extremely competitive. So for instance, here's a good example of a different rivalry, and I hope that it turns into one again. But going back to the Jim Harbaugh years in San Francisco, you had Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers as a pretty incredible rivalry there for a bit in the NFC West. Now, it kind of dropped off because the Niners dropped off. And I wouldn't say there's a ton of tradition and history there. We don't know it for its tradition and history. But when they give us really good games over the course of, say, 3 to 5 years, maybe even 10 years, well, then that rivalry takes on a different meaning and its own shape. Now, it disappeared. Here it is again. Now it's back. So again, history and tradition, those are my favorite rivalries, but I don't think you need a long history or tradition if you've got meaning attached to them. And if, as Austin says, the rivalries become competitive, maybe it's only for a time, but we love it, we get sucked into it, we want to see more of it. So there are different kinds of rivalries, to be sure, but my favorites are always the ones that go back. Let's talk to Mike, who's in Boston. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. Thank you.
So I'm actually a new caller and a new listener. I just worked a night shift recently.
Sweet.
And I love your show.
Thank you.
Just want to put that out there.
I appreciate that.
But I am a homer, so I want to go with the Patriots.
You and every other listener to this radio show.
I know, and I suck. But I just want to say, how interesting is it, though, to think about this, that the rivalry when it comes to football, the Patriots have literally brought a rivalry to every other team when it comes back to the Colts with Peyton Manning to all the way to the Kansas City Chiefs, and then you look back at the Jets, and then you look at other teams. That the Patriots, I think, have really brought a rivalry to a lot of different teams in the last 20 years of Tom Brady when you talk about different rivalries. I know it's a homer thing to say, but, you know, the Colts-Patriots rivalry was something that, you know, that can't be beat, really, with the Peyton Manning-Tom Brady thing, and then the Peyton Manning and even Ben Roethlisberger thing was really big.
So I would say this. I think that happens with teams that have extended success. Couldn't you say the same thing about the Golden State Warriors and how for a while there, for 5 years, they were getting every team's best shot? Now, I don't know if I would call it a rivalry. So Colts-Patriots was special for a few years. I would agree with that. And honestly, I think Patriots And Broncos was pretty special when Peyton Manning was there. They had some pretty good battles as well, though Brock Osweiler was part of that too for the Broncos for a stretch. But I don't know if I'd call it rivalries, but I would say those are really compelling games and battles because, as you say, the Patriots are the standard, the Warriors are the standard. Every team wants to beat those teams. It's like their Super Bowl or their NBA Finals, and maybe in some cases it's the closest they would get. And so they don't have the same history and tradition, but what they do have is a lot of intensity and a lot of meaning to them. And certainly when you face the Patriots, you know you have to play your best. And when you knock off the Patriots, it's almost like you won a Super Bowl in many cases because of what that means. Now then you got the Texans who turn around and fall flat the next week against a lesser opponent. But I would agree with you that when you're on top, when you're the king of the hill, everybody is trying to knock you off. So that's kind of where that rivalry feeling comes from. But who would you say, Mike, is the Patriots' chief rival, though?
Oh, right now, this year, God, as much as I hate to say it after last week and all the blown calls, I'd say the Chiefs after last year beating them in the AFC Championship and then this year with,
sure,
with those blown calls, I see Patriots-Chiefs going at each other this year in the AFC Championship again, and I think that might be the new rival.
So you're just dismissing Baltimore like they didn't even happen?
I know, it's sad to say as a Patriots fan, but I don't know. I think Baltimore might beat us, but I think the Patriots will find a way to win. Belichick, you can't count out Belichick finding a way to win against Baltimore. He saw them play once. I mean, just them beating us again that way, I just don't see it happening. And everyone's counting the Patriots out, but you have to think.
Oh, for God's sakes, Mike. No one is counting out the Patriots. And if they are, they're not paying any attention. This is what happens every year. Well, I don't remember what year it was. They were on Monday Night Football. They were playing against was it the Chiefs that they were playing again? Monday Night Football, maybe 2013-14. And Brady had this awful game. The offensive line was terrible. And all of a sudden, it was Monday Night Football. The entire narrative was, that's it. It's the end of the Patriots. I have friends of mine who work in Boston media. Oh, this is what it's like to be part of the rest of the world. And then what do they do but win the Super Bowl that year? I mean, please, don't make me roll my eyes. If you think this is really the end of the Patriots, you're not paying attention, Mike, because this is what happens every single year. Until they're actually beaten in the playoffs, it's not the end of the Patriots. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. Listening in Boston, glad you found the show. WEEI 93.7, that is our affiliate in the Boston area and beyond. And so we're glad to be there. And I know a lot of you are always asking me, how else can I listen? Well, we have SiriusXM 206. We also are on the radio.com app. It's free and easy, or cbssportsradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in After Hours.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.